Wednesdays with Walton is here as we talk Cardinals baseball, our chance to visit with Brian Walton of thecardinalnation.com. This is presented by the National Children's Cancer Society, Hotshot Sports Bar and Grill, Hair Saloon for Men, Design Air Heating and Cooling, Ryan Kelly, the Home Loan Expert, and by Schnucks. We're coming to you from the Lou Fuse Automotive Studios on ScoopsWithDannyMac.com. Before we talk baseball with Brian Walton, I want to remind you the 7th annual Evening with the Cardinals is coming up on Saturday, January 26th at St. Louis Union Station Hotel, presented by the National Children's Cancer Society. I'll be there emceeing the event. The featured guests will be Cardinals Hall of Famers Jim Edmonds and Chris Carpenter. Also, a special VIP reception featuring the president of baseball operations, John Mozeliak, is available for you. To be a sponsor or to get your tickets, head to thenccs.org. That's thenccs.org. This event has raised over $1.3 million for families battling childhood cancer. And again, the event is coming up on January 26th, so not that far away. As we talk baseball, a bunch of baseball coming up down in Jupiter. As a matter of fact, it's already kicked off. We're going to talk about it with Brian Walton. Instructional camp, very important for minor leaguers, and the major league staff is there with the minor league staff with about 40 to 43 players from the minor leagues, some at AAA, AA, Single A, even some guys from the Dominican leagues are there. Jose Oquendo, we're going to talk about the impact that Jose can make on minor league players. We're going to talk about the slow free agent market. The Cardinals have not been slow in this market. And also about what the Cardinals can expect with a Mike Schilt run camp in spring training. All that is coming up. This is Scoops with DannyMac.com. Brian Walton is coming up. Cold outside, so what? Baseball, baseball town, St. Louis. We're talking baseball. Brian Walton on Scoops with DannyMac.com.
Hi, I'm Ryan Kelly with thehomeloanexpert.com. There's never been a better time to look at a refinance. Maybe it's time to get rid of the PMI or get some cash out to pay off the credit cards. 5 minutes could save you $500 a month. Thehomeloanexpert.com. Enjoy the podcast.
With hundreds of wines and craft beers to taste and culinary delights around every corner, you're not going to want to miss the 17th annual Food and Wine presented by Schnucks. January 25th, 26th, and 27th at Union Station. St. Louis Food and Wine presented by Schnucks. Be a part of the largest food and wine show in the Midwest. Schnucks Certified Wine Specialist and Cicerones will be there. Tickets available at stlfoodandwine.com. Thanks to Schnucks. Wednesdays with Walton on ScoopsWithDannyMac.com as we come to you from our Lou Fuse Automotive Studios and our chance as always to visit with Brian Walton. And Brian has been with us from day one on ScoopsWithDannyMac.com. And I'll tell you what, you get past the new year and that means baseball season is here. You get past the national championship football game and college football pretty soon. The Super Bowl be here. And then really, then you know baseball season is here. And Brian, all of a sudden you go down to Jupiter, Florida, and you see guys wearing the birds on the bat. And then you really know baseball season is here. And for anybody that's down in Jupiter right now, you'll see guys on the field. Instructional camp is taking place. So that means, you know what? Baseball season, it's here. It's going on right now, isn't it?
That's right, and it's a really exciting time. Most folks wouldn't expect that there would be a camp that started on January 7th, but the Cardinals had what they called before fall instructional camp that they traditionally held after the minor league seasons ended in September and into October. But what they found was that, first of all, they couldn't include the draftees from that year because those kids had already played a full spring, and then they played in the short season of the Cardinals system, and they were tired and they needed rest. So right away, the group that you most want to get indoctrinated to how the Cardinals do things are the ones you send home. So prior to 2018, the Cardinals made a decision, hey, let's try moving our instructional camp from the fall to January. They did that last year, and now this year is the second year of that. And they select about 40 players across the system from various levels, all the way from literally guys that pitched or played in Memphis last year, all the way to a few from the Dominican Summer League. And they bring them all together in Jupiter. They have a two-week program. So it's not, you know, super intensive, but they spend about half a day each day in the classroom where the player development staff gets their plans together while the players are off doing their strength and conditioning. Then all the coaches and the players go on the field in the afternoon and they focus on drills, focus on fundamentals. And the pitchers aren't ready at that point, you know, to throw at full strength, full velocity, all their offerings. So they don't play games in the formal sense. Now there's still batting practice and there's still activities, but it's not as intensive as a normal spring training. And the Cardinals, while they have a core of coaches that run instructional camp, last year at least, they ran every manager and coach at all levels of the system through camp in one of those 2 weeks. So they got the coaches together, working together. And it's not just the minor league coaches. That's actually where I met Maddox first, is down there. So they had the major league coaches down there as well in this informal camp. So it's a great opportunity for the coaches to get ready for the new season, but also for this selected group of players.
You mentioned it's about 40 players. How do they select those players, Brian, of the 40 of the various levels? And also, is it an opportunity? Have you found that some of those players are guys that are switching positions as well, or maybe to learn a new position or to add a position, utility guys in particular?
Certainly. For example, I was actually the first one to discover outside the organization that Carson Kelly had been moved from third base to catching. And I learned that in fall instructional camp when I actually saw him with the gear on. So yes, there, but of course there aren't tons of position changes, but there will be some obviously that are going on. It's really more about, in some cases, it's players who are injured. For example, Ronnie Williams, who is a good right-handed pitching prospect, got hurt. I mean, it wasn't long ago Ronnie Williams was mentoring Jordan Hicks, but then Ronnie got stuck in AA. So he's in camp as he's trying to, you know, get back going coming off injury. Same with Junior Fernandez. But then on the other end, you've got guys that are high-potential guys. Connor Jones, who pitched very well in the Arizona Fall League and could get in the relief picture pretty soon. Evan Krasinski, who is a lefty, who had such a good year last year. Johan Oviedo, the big Cuban kid who pitched all season at Peoria. So Jake Woodford, who got called up to Memphis and did a really fine job. So there's a whole mix of pitchers at different experience levels. A couple of the guys that they brought in from the Rule 5 draft are included as well. So, you know, they're trying to get them used to the organization. And then, you know, on the catching side, Andrew Kisner, of course, everybody knows who he is. But they've also got Dennis Ortega and Julio Rodriguez, who are a couple of the younger guys at Peoria. Ivan Herrera, who's a teenager who did very well in the Gulf Coast League. So you can see you've got, on one hand, Kisner, who's, you know, just a step away from the major leagues, and Ivan Herrera, who's, you know, still been at the lowest level of the system. So it's more about getting these guys, you know, ready for the new season and working together than it is necessary for them to be competing directly.
I'm proud to announce a new sponsor for ScoopsWithDannyMac.com, and that's Design Air Heating and Cooling. You know, a few weeks ago, I was having an issue with my furnace, and I made a connection with Seth Goldkamp, who runs Design Air Heating and Cooling. He sent a technician over to my house. Not only did the technician arrive at my house, but so did Seth. They did a tune-up on my furnace, they got it running properly, but they also found a glitch in the system that is now saving me money on my monthly statement. That's all because of Design Air Heating and Cooling. They did that for me and my family. They can do that for you. They're a fourth-generation family-run company. They've been in business for over 100 years because they take care of their customers. The number one train dealer in the Midwest. It's hard to stop a train. Find out more at designairservice.com. Thanks to Seth Goldkamp and Design Air Heating and Cooling. You mentioned the coaches are there. That includes the Major League coaching staff. And I'm assuming the idea would be is that, look, if those players win and if they get to the major leagues, they want to have a system that up and down the minor leagues, they're all on the same page. So when you jump from single to double to triple to the major leagues, guys are on the same page, and they're learning that quote-unquote Cardinal way, the right way that they want to teach the game, and that it's a seamless transition up and down the minor leagues to the major leagues.
And that's something that they really stressed. I mean, back to the days of La Russa and Duncan, there was a disconnect, and they started to work really hard on it even, you know, back at that time. And now, you know, over the last half a dozen years, you know, it hasn't even been a question. But to answer your specific question about the coaches, the major league coaches are more there to observe and to collaborate. The people running the camp actually are Mark DeJean, who's the field coordinator, and Chris Swager, who is his assistant and will be taking over next year when Mark DeJean retires. So they're running the camp. Then, of course, pitching coordinators, Tim Levesque, and then Randy Neiman is his assistant. And then Tyler is offensive strategist, but basically we're talking about the hitting coordinator for the minor leagues, which is George Greer, who everybody knows, who is, you know, with St. Louis. So those are kind of the guys in charge. Then you've got some managers, Roberto Espinosa, Joshua Lopez. Then you've got Oquendo, Jernier Roscoe, and Johnny Rodriguez, who are other coaches who will be in the camp the whole time, who are sort of the core coaches who are running the camp and all the drills that go with it.
You mentioned Jose Oquendo. What kind of effect do you think he'll have on being now back in the minor league stages and coaching and working with some of those young players?
Well, I think personally, and you know, I've not talked to him about this directly, but my perception is that personally, this is going to be more fulfilling for him. You know, he did that for a couple of years and then was coaxed back to the major league staff for 2018. But it seems like his heart now at this stage of his life, you know, he's been a major league coach for 20 years. You know, he was ready now to focus on a different phase of his career, which is working with minor leaguers. And, you know, Delvin Perez is one guy, and, you know, it's not coincidental that they're both from Puerto Rico, and they're both middle infielders. And you know, Jose took a special focus with Delvin Perez before he went back to St. Louis, and, you know, he'll probably pick that up this year. But of course, he's working with everybody who's coming through the system. And I don't know if he's going to be based all the time in Jupiter or whether he'll be roving around the system through the course of the year. I guess that remains to be seen.
When you think about, you know, spring training, it's only a few weeks away, and Brian, you've made a living out of covering the minor leagues. You know Mike Shildt very, very well. What do you think that camp will be like? You know, Mike ran minor league camp. He's made a living out of the minor leagues, and now he's a major league manager. What do you think that that major league camp will be like for Mike Shildt?
You know, I wish it'll be very interesting to see, because on one hand, certainly as Mike Matheny's bench coach, you know, he had considerable input to how the past camps were run. Now, so there may have been some things that he wanted to do that he couldn't do. But on the other hand, is, you know better than me, Dan, because you travel with him all year long. Major leaguers are creatures of habit. They like to understand what the routine is. And they want to, you know, stick with that routine. And so I'll be surprised if Mike Shildt does anything that's totally revolutionary. But what he does, I guarantee you, he will explain thoroughly to everyone up front. Everybody will understand not only what's expected of them, but why they're doing it and what the desired result is at the end. Because I think nobody would disagree that one of Mike Shildt's greatest strengths is his ability to communicate.
I said this so many times. If you go to thecardinalnation.com, you'll find unbelievable Cardinal content concerning Brian covering the minor leagues and also Cardinal Major League news. Now, I'm going to ask you a question concerning all Major League teams. What are your thoughts on the fact that Harper, Machado, and now 200-plus other free agents have not signed? I'm just curious. The lack of movement in Major League Baseball last year and again this year, the market is not moving. The report was that, you know, the report was that in Forbes, exorbitant numbers in terms of money made across the board, and yet a lack of movement in free agency. What are your thoughts?
Well, I think on the general scale, and this is something the Cardinals were one of the leaders at, is, you know, applying analytics to player values. And they, you know, have a set of metrics, which they don't share with the public or with the media, on how they value players. And they are pretty strong at sticking to that. And other clubs now are doing the same thing. So they're saying, hey, you know, we think this guy's only worth $10 million for 3 years. You know, we're not going to go above that. We're not going to be – and, of course, the agents are, you know, trying to maximize the value for their players. However, if you look, I mean, the Cardinals did push to make a couple of their big moves already. And, you know, in getting the Goldschmidt trade out of the way and signing Andrew Miller. And, you know, when Miller signed with St. Louis, that sort of opened up the relief market for several years. Like, Kimbrel's still out there, obviously, but, you know, a number of other top relievers signed once. Miller sort of set the benchmark of what the average annual value and about how many years, you know, these relievers are going to get. So I think, I mean, we know the Harpers and Machados are going to sign. And, you know, the same with the next year of free agents, the A.J. Pollocks and et cetera. But the guys that are really caught are the guys that are at the lower end of the echelon. I mean, we talked before about Shelby Miller, for example. Okay, you know, Shelby Miller, nobody's going to rush to sign Shelby Miller, you know, but he's going to want to get a major league contract, and maybe clubs are only offering him a minor league contract because there's, you know, 50 other relievers out there, 50 other pitchers out there right now that maybe aren't as high a risk. So, and then at the very low end of the spectrum, you've got guys who are minor league guys only who really don't have a hope of getting a major league contract, and those guys end up signing quickly. I mean, if you look, Cardinals side, Hunter Cervenka and Williams Perez and Mike Hochschild, and, you know, guys that most folks have never heard of, they're guys that are going to compete for jobs at AAA Memphis, and those guys sign quickly, and organizations want to get them signed quickly because they'll get snapped up somewhere else. And those guys, you know, their salaries are known, so it's no big deal. So the top-end guys are fine. The very bottom-end guys are fine. It's the guys in the middle that are really stuck waiting for the market to develop and for all these other guys to either find homes or not get homes. And we saw last year, you know, a team like Milwaukee, you know, came in and snapped up, you know, a number of you know, reasonably priced guys, but they didn't sign them until like late February. And but they're guys that can, you know, help the Brewers obviously win the division. So
yeah,
it'll be interesting.
Yeah, it really is. I'm curious, the trickle-down effect from last year, and is it going to, and you kind of touched upon this, but the trickle-down effect that it has with minor leaguers, not only in signing, but Brian, when you have guys that sign really late, and some of them may not sign until, let's say, the middle of spring training or late spring training, so they've got to have teams to train with because they're not major league ready, so they break camp and they may go with minor league teams, extended spring, maybe they start with AAA, and that has an effect on a minor league team, a minor league player, minor league season. What do you see with that, the effect on a minor league season and a minor league team?
Well, I mean, the minor leagues are there to feed the major league. So, you know, if there's a reason that a player signs late and he needs that time, I was going to say Greg Holland, but I hate to bring up that name. But, you know, if you could do Greg Holland over again and say, okay, Greg, you know, you're going to spend 2 weeks in Memphis no matter what. I don't care if you strike out every batter, you know, and don't throw a ball. You know, that's more important than whatever they're trying to accomplish in the minor leagues. They'll make room. They'll figure that out because everybody is there for one thing, and that is to help the major league team be successful. So, you know, if the right thing at the end of spring training is that Alex Reyes isn't ready to step into the rotation or he isn't ready to become a full-time reliever and they have to send him to Memphis, you know, that won't hurt any of the plans for Memphis. And in fact, I'm sure they'd love to have Alex Reyes there, and the fans would love to see him. So, you know, those things get worked out.
A reminder for baseball fans and for Blues fans, join the action this season at one of Hotshot Sports Bar and Grill's 11 area locations. Score a hat trick of savings with great food and drink specials available during every Blues game, including Bud Family beer specials, $4 Jack Daniel's cocktails, the $5.99 Blue Sampler appetizer, $4 Blue Note bombs, and the all-new Golden Bread cocktail for $5. And that is at Hotshot Sports Bar and Grill. And they'll have all the NFL action on their big screen TVs at 11 area locations. Hotshot Sports Bar and Grill. Another reminder to tell you about Hair Saloon for Men. It was founded in 1997. They now have 16 locations in St. Louis. I go there, both my boys, I take them there. Hair Saloon keeps client notes on each customer, so on each visit, you can be assured they know what you want. They'll do that in the privacy of your own cutting station. Complimentary beverage, relaxing shampoo, hot towel and a mint, complimentary shoe shine. You know how much it costs you? All that for $22. And for an extra $5, get a stress-relieving scalp massage or neck shave. That's right. You can do that. All those locations right here in St. Louis. Hair Saloon for Men. I say it all the time. I go to thecardinalnation.com daily. I would encourage every Cardinal fan to do that, to get caught up on the minor leagues, also on all the news with the major leagues. Brian, what are you offering right now here lately? And you do it 365 days a year. That includes Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's Day, which is amazing. But what's going on right now with thecardinalnation.com?
Well, we finished our unveiling of the top 50 prospects for the Cardinal system for 2019. So now we're going through a series of deep dives, 11 articles, where we break down the top 50 every way possible. By how they're drafted, by their experience, by what levels they were at before. We identify our sleeper picks. We look at last year's top 50 and say, hey, where did we do well and where did we fail? We look at the guys that left the system. We look at prospects based on potential. I end up redoing the whole top 50, and instead of a normal ranking, just rank them based on potential. So, for example, Malcolm Nunez, who was the triple crown winner of the Dominican Summer League. He only came in 10th overall in our system. But if you look at the potential of the guy at this point, while it's high risk, his potential is as high as anybody in the system. So, you know, it's a different way of looking at the top 50. So those series of articles will be going on through the end of this week.
Brian, thank you so much. We'll catch you up next Wednesday.
Thanks, Dan. Talk to you then.